This morning, what I'd like for us to spend a little time on is to discuss the church. Many of us take so many things for granted when it comes to the church. We grew up in it, you know, meaning that we have been a part of religion and Christianity since the time we were little. And there are a lot of people that have a lot of questions about the church, and partly because of the abuses that have taken place that has clouded the thinking of some folks. You know, it's amazing to me that all the things that God gave us that were meant for good, that the devil has somehow been able to just twist a little bit and pervert and make it be not so good. You know, God gave us government. He says in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, read that section sometime. He said, you know, the powers that be, they're for our good. I gave them to you to punish the evildoer and to make safe those who follow the laws. You know, government's supposed to be a good thing, but look at how many people have suffered and lost their lives at the hands of ungodly men in government. That's never what God intended. Look at the home. God gave us the home in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. He talks about the creation and he says, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. So, you know, I'm going to create a help that is meet or worthy, suitable to you. And you two shall become one flesh. You'll leave father and mother, cleave to each other. And that was his plan. It was to be a good plan. It was for man's betterment. But man, do you know how many people have suffered because of marriage? Do you know how many people have been abused and the drudgery that they see married? That's never what God intended, but it's what we turned it into. And God gave us the church. And the church should be a place of blessing, a place of help, a place of strength and companionship as we make this journey to heaven. And just like the other things God has given us, the devil has gotten his hands on it and has perverted it and made it something that many people see. Well, when they think of church, they think of a cold, sterile, heartless institution that if you get in its way, it'll run right over you. And that is the last thing in the world that God intended for the church to be. And yet when you talk to a lot of people, that's the image that comes to their mind about church. So what I want to do this morning is to just look at the value of the church, why we're members of the church, and how we should view the church. And maybe in so doing, we'll answer a few questions that maybe you have asked along the way as well. Here's the first question. Do I have to be a member of the church? Like, do I have to go to church to go to heaven? Do I have to be a member of the church? Can't I just be a follower of Christ without the church? And there has been this dichotomy in the minds of people that for some who want to say, you know what, you can have a relationship with Jesus and you don't need the church. That has nothing to do with your relationship to Jesus. But is that the truth? Does the Bible teach us that we don't have to be members of the church? You know, sometimes, and I don't want to paint with too broad a stroke here, so please understand what I'm saying, but I think sometimes when people ask the question, do I have to be a part of a church? It might say something about their attitude and their mindset. Maybe, in some cases, not in all. Some may really be asking that question, looking for information, but others may be saying, you know, I really don't want to mess with it, and I'm looking for an out, an excuse. But it's kind of like sometimes asking a question, you can ask the wrong question. And sometimes, depending on attitude, that's a wrong question to ask. It's like asking this, as a father, do I have to hug my kids? Do I have to go to their birthday parties? Do I have to buy them Christmas presents? Do I have to love my wife? You mean I have to go home every day and kiss my wife? Do I have to do that? You see, those are wrong questions, aren't they? You shouldn't have to ask those questions because it should be natural. You don't have to be told. It should be something that you just understand and do. And I think that that's the case with reference to the church. Do I have to be a part of a church is kind of close to that same territory. Do I have to hug my kids? Why would you not want to be a part of something that God had so much time and interest in? Well, Acts 20 and verse 28. You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said he gave his life. He shed his blood to purchase the church. If the church means that much to God and to Jesus, how can I just dismiss it? You know, if I'm trying to be godly, then how can I take a flippant, frivolous attitude toward the church when God said, it's so important to me that I allowed my son to shed his blood for it? As many of you know, my dad died almost 3 years ago. This fall, it'll be 3 years. And while we were going through some of his things, my sister found something that he had written a long, long time ago. It was in a high school annual. And it had, like, your favorite things, like who's your favorite basketball team, what's your favorite sport, what's your... who's your favorite teacher, you know, what's your favorite song, and goes down through a whole list of things. And one of the things was, who's your favorite author? And he said, A.J. Cronin. I'd never heard of the guy. But he was my dad's favorite author, at least when he was in high school. So you know what I did? I got on the internet and I found out who A.J. Cronin was, and I downloaded one of his books, Adventures in a Black Bag, about a doctor, and I've listened to that. It has a lot of short, interesting stories in it, but I would never have done that. I would have never taken that interest in A.J. Cronin had not my dad said, he's one of my favorites. We might dismiss the church were it not for our Heavenly Father saying, this means more than my son's life. How can we turn our back on that? The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, and sometimes people misunderstand this because they say, you know, well, after all, Jesus is your Savior, the church isn't your Savior, and with that I agree. But understand this, no, the church doesn't save you, but it is the church that Jesus saves. And that's why it's important to be a part of it. You can read that in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 23 and reading on down through. Jesus says, I'm going to save my church. Nowhere in Scripture does Jesus ever promise to save those outside of his church. And so when asked with the question, do I have to be a member of the church? Well, number one, why wouldn't you want to? Your Heavenly Father, it meant the world to him. Jesus gave his life for it. And, well, if you want to go to heaven, you do, because it's the church that Jesus said, I'm going to redeem with the blood that I shed. Here's a second question. Well, does it matter which church I'm a member of? Okay, so if I got to be a member of a church, well, which one? Or does it matter which one? There's so many churches from which to choose. What we have in existence today is not at all what God intended and what existed in the first century. You go back to the first century, what would you do? Would you come up to Paul and say, hey, Paul, what denomination are you? He'd say, what are you talking about? What denomination? I'm a Christian. I'm a member of the body of Christ. I'm a member of his church. And you don't like that answer. You didn't get what you were looking for. So you go find Peter and you say, Peter, you preached the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. You baptized or were part of baptizing 3,000 men on that day, men, women, and they were added to the church. What church did you add them to? Which denomination was that? Because that's the one I want to be a part of. Well, again, would he not look at you strangely? What do you mean, what denomination? I added them to the body of Christ, to the church. All who are saved are added to that church. There weren't brands like exist today. That's an innovation of man. That's something that men has done through the years. So the question is, how do I know, does it matter which one or which brand I get in? Well, my brief answer to that is yes, it matters. And it's always mattered. You go back to the first century. You could look at the churches that existed even in the first century culture. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, there's the church at Sardis. And you know what Jesus said about them? He said, you know what, you guys at Sardis, church at Sardis, you have a reputation in your community that you are alive and vibrant. And man, you are a go-getter type church. They think you are doing outstanding things. But you want to know the truth? You're dead, spiritually dead. You want to be a part of a dead church? I don't. So it matters what church you're a part of, right? I mean, there's the church at Sardis who Jesus said, you're dead. You don't want to be a part of a dead church. And then you can turn over in that same chapter, chapter 3, just go down a little further. You read about the church at Laodicea. And he said, you know, Laodicea, you're lukewarm. I'd rather you be cold or, you know, hot, but you're lukewarm. And man, he says, you know, it's like taking a drink of lukewarm water and it's yuck, you know, you spit it out because it's nasty. You don't want to drink lukewarm water. And that's what the Lord said about that congregation. You're lukewarm. Get on fire for me, or just get off and leave me alone and forget about me altogether. But this half-hearted, lukewarm service, man, it makes me sick. It sickens me. Does it matter what church you're part of? Yeah, it did. You don't want to be a part of a church that Jesus said, I'll spit out of my mouth because I'm so disgusted by it. So it's always mattered. Why would we want to be a part of a church that doesn't teach the plan of salvation? You know, isn't that the purpose of church anyway? I mean, aren't we supposed to be representatives of Jesus, trying to help people to find salvation and make their way back to God? And would we want to be a part of a church that tells people, now here's how to get back to God, and they tell you the wrong thing? We wouldn't want to be a part of that kind of a church. Or what if we were a part of a church that downplays the supremacy of Jesus? Like Colossians 1 and verse 18 says that Jesus is head over all things to the church. He has preeminence. He's the head and the church is the body. And, you know, the head controls the body. But I'm afraid a lot of places the body thinks it can control the head. It doesn't have to take orders from the head. It does its own thing and doesn't have authority for what it does or what it teaches or the actions it does. They did it of their own presumption. Well, I know you can't turn in your Bible and read this, or I know you can't find scripture that says you should do this, but we're going to do it anyway. Would you want to be a part of a church that nullifies or disregards the headship of Jesus? You see, there are a lot of things that we can go through and just start. There are things that matter. Listen, I want to be a part of a church that Jesus shed his blood for. I want to be a part of the church that follows his will and that holds him up and teaches the truth and teaches people how to be saved and to be reconciled to God. And if a church doesn't do that, I don't want anything to do with it because it gives people false hope. And here's a third question, and this will be the last one. Well, why do I need the church anyway? It doesn't save me, right? You said Jesus saves me. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Jesus saves you. The church doesn't save you. The church is the saved that Jesus will save. But why do I need it? Well, because it's family. And we all need family. The church, we're said to be sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. The church describes us as brothers and sisters in Christ. We need family. The church provides strength. It provides comfort. It provides solace. It provides mutual rejoicing and celebration. You know, when life happens, good or bad, it's the church that is there to go through it with you. And there are times when we need someone to be happy with. And there are times we need somebody to be sad with. There are times when we need to help other people, and there are times we need to be helped. And that's why God gave us the church. He's called out. The word church literally means called out. And God has called us out of the world to be separate. And he's called us to him. And it's a hard journey. Life is difficult. We don't manage very well by ourselves. Shortly, we'll make mistakes and sin and shame ourselves and shame our Lord, and we're sorry for it. And boy, but isn't it so much easier when you have somebody rooting for you and somebody who helps you and encourages you and strengthens you to do all the right things? You know, I think of the redwoods. When we were out in California a couple years ago, the redwood forest, I don't know if, you know, maybe some of you have been there. These trees are huge. And they cut and you can drive cars through them. They're that big. But you know, the amazing thing about these redwoods or these sequoias is their root system. You know, you've always been taught, you know, you have this tree on above the ground. And what it kind of looks like under the ground is what it looks like on top of the ground. You know, those roots go down and just spread out everywhere. And it's much bigger than you would ever realize. That's not the way redwoods work. You know what they do? Their root system goes this way. It doesn't go deep. It goes this way. And what it does is it intertwines and mingles with the root systems of other trees. And they stand against the winds and the storms by being held and supported by the other trees. That's how they're strong. It's not the depth, but it's the relationship that it has to other trees. And that's where we get our strength as well. It's not all me. It's not all dependent on me. I have a support system. I have brothers and sisters in Christ that God arranged for me to have to help me through life. And would you trade that for anything? You see, these are three questions that I think are often asked about the church. And I just wanted to share three brief answers to remind you of why we do what we do. We're Christians, members of the church, not a brand. Not a denomination. We're just Christians. And do you have to be a member? Well, Jesus promised to save his church. Do you want to be saved? If you do, you'll want to be a member. Does it matter which church I'm a part of? Well, sure it does. It always has. You don't want to be a part of a dead church like Sardis. You don't want to be a part of a lukewarm church like Laodicea, and we could go on down the line. You don't want to be a part of a church that doesn't honor Christ or that acts presumptuously without direction from its head. You don't want to be a part of a church that doesn't teach the truth and a host of other things. So, yeah, it matters what church you're a part of. Well, do I need the church or why do I need it? Well, because it's family, and there's strength and help to face each day anew, to wade and muddle through this life until we're free from all these things that have been stumbling blocks in our way. Let me close by reminding you this, and this tells you something about the value of the church and your place in the church. Jesus was once talking in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. He was talking about John the Baptist, John the Immerser. And you know what he said about him? He said, man, John was great. There was no one born any greater than John. He's a great man. But Jesus went on to say, but you know what? The least in the kingdom of heaven or in the church, the kingdom of God, the least person in the kingdom is greater than John. That's quite an honor. That says a whole lot about the church. As great as John was, he lived before the church. He didn't have the opportunity to be a part of the church because it hadn't been built yet. But Jesus said those people, as great as John was living before the church, those people that are least in the church, if they're in it, they're greater than John was. What an honor to be a part of this organization, this body that Jesus left with us, so that we might help each other to go to heaven. If you're not a part of that church, the body of Christ, and you know that's what I need to do, I want to do it. Here's what Jesus said. The terms of entrance haven't changed in 2,000 years. On the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 people that were added to the church. And you know what they had to do? They believed in Jesus because they cried out, men and brethren, what are we going to do? We killed the Son of God. They believed, and here's what Peter said. Well, you need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You want your sins forgiven? You want to be added to the church? Do that today. Nothing's changed. The remedy is still the same. And if you're a child of God, a member of the church already, but you haven't been faithful and you haven't appreciated what God has given you, seek His prayers. Or seek His forgiveness, ask for forgiveness in prayer, and God will be faithful and just to do just that. If you need to respond, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.